New data from the State Department of Justice shows more than 500 DNA matches have been made from a backlog of recently tested sexual assault kits. The backlog was a central theme in this year's race for Wisconsin Attorney General, with more than 4,000 kits that were left untested until this year, despite some being decades old. Keegan Kyles, an investigative reporter for USA Today Network Wisconsin. Keegan, welcome back to the show.
Thanks for having me.
You've been following this story for a while. Before we get into this new development, remind us what these kits are and why we had this big backlog of them.
Sure. So after a person reports being sexually assaulted, they'll often go to a hospital to be medically examined. And the evidence that is collected during that exam is packaged up and produced and called a rape kit. And that evidence can then be sent to a crime lab and tested for DNA, which can often be used in court cases or just for investigation. But in many cases, over the past decades, these kits were not sent to the state crime labs for testing. They were kept in hospitals or police stations. And now the state is trying to catch up with all of this unprocessed work.
So we've got all these tested kits now. We've talked a lot about how that came about over the last few years. What kind of things are we finding out? What are these DNA matches we're hearing about?
Well, the DNA matches have looked at these kits and checked them against both national offender databases, so people who were previously arrested or convicted for all sorts of crimes, and also evidence collected from crime scenes, what's called forensic databases. And of those two databases, the state rape kits have matched up with 224 cases of cold hits, where it is pointing to people who are not previously named as suspects in sexual assault cases. And these are potential new leads for investigators. There were also 239 warm hits, which is pointing to people who were previously known to detectives or investigators as suspects. So those could be cases of confirmation of someone involved in a sexual assault case. So this is developments in hundreds of cases that now detectives across the state will be looking at to decide whether to reopen cases and maybe reconsider whether to press charges.
So these are as yet unsolved, or I guess in some cases unresolved, cases of sexual assault. Potentially these are new leads that could lead to new prosecutions. Is that right?
Exactly. So there's already been three cases of the DNA test leading to new criminal charges. There are cases pending in Opaca County, Winnebago County, and Rock County as a result of this effort. And now we just have hundreds of more matches for investigators across the state to look at.
Other places, other cities and states had been working on this issue too. Had we seen this sort of thing happen there, where going back, resolving this backlog, testing these kits was reopening previously cold cases?
Exactly. And also the testing can sometimes reveal things about old cases in new ways. So in other cities, re-examining old rape kits linked together cases, so you were much more easily be able to present in court a pattern of a serial rapist or something along those lines. It could help identify suspects who hadn't previously been identified. So those types of cases in other states and cities is what pushed Wisconsin to finally start addressing the same issue here back in 2014 and 2015.
Talking to Keegan Kyle, investigative reporter for USA Today Network Wisconsin, looking at new information about Wisconsin's backlog, now largely resolved, of untested sexual assault kits, leading to new information for previously cold cases. Keegan, why did it take so long to get to these, especially knowing that these might lead to the resolution of open cases?
Well, we published an investigation earlier this year that looked at the array of issues that led to the slow process of just even counting how many rape kits were out there, required the state to go out and ask for information from hundreds of police agencies scattered across the state, many of whom only had small staffs or paper records about rape kits. So So it required a tremendous amount of work to even get a scale of how many rape kits were out there. Then it was a process of sending all of this information to state crime labs and funding that through private grants, or not private grants, but federal grants. It became a very complicated process because of both the scale of the backlog and also how many resources were dedicated to it. So it ended up taking, in some cases, 3 years for evidence from the point of discovery to the point of it coming out of labs with DNA results. And that, like you said in the intro, that became a major theme in this year's Attorney General election, of how quickly the rape kits were addressed.
Are we, as a state, actually caught up now?
There are still a very few number of old rape kits being tested. There are 7 kits that are still being tested in labs, according to the state's new numbers. There are also hundreds of kits that still could be tested if victims were to step forward and request testing. So there are lots of cases where kits were collected in hospitals, but the state felt uncomfortable testing that evidence because the kit was not associated with a reported crime. And they felt it was unjustified to have that kit tested in a crime lab without a victim's consent.
Is there a procedure if there's someone listening who says, I had one of those test kits, no charges were ever filed, no crime was reported, is there a way for them to say, yes, please do test that?
Yes, there are advocates that they can certainly reach out to. There's also a state office of victim services that they can reach out to and get involved in their case to either request information about the status of their kit. They can also work with that office to advocate for testing or charges if they want to seek charges.
Let's take things up to today now. Are there procedures in place so that we don't end up with another backlog? Have we streamlined the process so that as a new unfortunate incident happens, that these kits get tested sooner?
Yes, there have been some steps with state guidelines for how kits are handled. So police agencies are receiving a lot more information than they used to about the value of having these kits tested, about when they should send kits to state labs. The main thing that has not changed, even since 2014, are state resources, like state-funded resources to help the testing, and that's becoming an issue in state crime labs, as well as the state law around what kits should be tested has not changed. And there's still confusion over what state law requires that led to some kits not being tested, and there have been calls for changes to state law running both on Democrats and Republicans are interested in changing state law.
So that's something that could get resolved theoretically in the next session of the legislature?
Exactly.
Now, you mentioned 3 prosecutions in 3 different counties related to these DNA matches. You mentioned 200 and some cold hits in particular. Are you expecting to see now, prosecutors and police departments review this information, another wave of prosecutions based on that information?
Possibly, but some of these cases can, even with this new evidence, it can take months to kind of reopen and reexamine these cases. So it's not necessarily going to happen quickly. It's not like we're going to see a new wave of prosecutions next week or even necessarily this year. Because these cases, even after you get new evidence, can still take a while to develop.
We'll leave it there for now. Keegan, thanks a lot for joining us again.
Thanks so much.
That's Keegan Kyle, investigative reporter for the USA Today Network Wisconsin, with us to talk about his reporting on DNA matches found in a backlog of recently tested sexual assault kits.